Our next storyteller, Judith Arcana. Yes, so exciting. A local poet and writer. She does have her latest chapbook for sale for $10 at the table, along with little pieces of paper with her email address on it that she calls her card that you can get. You can start walking up here. She's amazing. She's inspirational. I'm really looking forward to experiencing a story with her. She's just like, oh, I'm just a local writer. But I know, right? So many people were like, Judith Arcana's reading at that thing. So please welcome Judith Arcana.
Thank you. A little technical adjustments first. Okay. Oh, thank you, ma'am. Is that good? I think it is. Is that good, people? All right, let's hope it stays good. That's the thing about good. So, big thanks to Mo and Aaron from me for inviting me to tell my bear story, which has some similarities to Vanessa's bear story and, of course, some differences because we're not the same person. I'm going to read poetry and prose. I'm going to talk and mix those up together. And I'm beginning with a classic story beginning line. And I love that. Long ago and far away, which in this case is 1970s Chicago, the bear came to me, a great gift. Before that, in what I see now as a preface to the bear, then of course it was just what it was, I played the what animal would you be if you could be any animal you want game with my pals, and I chose, back then, the dolphin, a creature with qualities and skills that I love, including vitality, a great sense of humor. They are so funny. And the capacity for joy. On my 30th birthday, I got my first tattoo, a dolphin leaping here on my left shoulder. And then, slowly, I moved, as we will do in life. As we grow, as we learn, as we change, I moved into another realm. I was then a member of the Magic Book, a small group of Chicago women artists organized by the late, great Lois Nowicki. Lois. The six of us worked in different forms. There was a painter, a photographer. I was the writer. And we met monthly to cross-pollinate. Each meeting was designed and directed by one of us, mostly from stuff she knew best, but we fooled around a lot, as you might imagine. One time we borrowed a big studio from an artist in town. He let us use his whole space. It was gigantic. It was like having this and more space just for the six of us. We figured we would be spreading out. Of course, five of us didn't know what we would be doing. The person who was running it that night, Leah Gaty, told us to choose a place, get comfortable in the place, and stay there in the place we had chosen. She turned out the lights, and she lit one candle, a small candle, and began chanting. She led us into a trance, suggesting that each of us would find a spirit animal. She was patiently relentless, or relentlessly patient, and she spun that chant out for us, to us, at us, on us. And I was ready. I was definitely ready. It had been nearly 10 years that I had been reading the tarot. My second tattoo was a pentacle, the symbol of cosmic magic on the material plane of the earth. So I was ripe for Leah. If I used to remember what she said that night, or what I thought while she was saying it, I sure don't remember now. But what I do remember, and I'm sure will never forget, is this. After concentrating pretty fiercely, following Leah's prompting until her voice was inside my mind, I suddenly knew there was, and then I saw that there was, lying next to me where I'd sprawled out on the floor next to some beat-up metal filing cabinets and a big old wooden desk, a bear, a big, dark bear. She was looking at me while I was looking at her. Her eyes held that shockingly tiny point of light that you get in almost complete darkness where there's only the smallest possible light source. We were close enough to touch, but not touching. I thought, we must have been hibernating together, and now it's time for us to wake up. Maybe it was the spring equinox like it is today. Oh, maybe people were playing music and I didn't even know it. The spring equinox, a very good time for bears to awaken. For anybody to awaken, I suppose. But for them, for sure, it's their time. After that extraordinary meeting as gift, that visitation, I began to read about bears, to learn about their lives, real bears, magic bears, all the bears I could find. I found bear symbols, pictures of bears. Lois, the late great Lois, gave me a small wooden bear and pages that she had torn out of National Geographic's pictures of bears, which I still have, luckily. At some point I got, and I do not remember how or where, a bear fetish, a strong, heavy, albeit small, bear fetish. I took the bear into my spirit life, into my magic life. And the bear was my primary teacher thereafter for at least 20 years, roughly. Sometimes I got help from the wisdom and lives and actions of other animals as well. 5 years ago, I discovered a woman named Leslie Gray in the pages of the Sun magazine in a very long interview piece. And she's a shaman and a shrink. She's a clinical psychologist from Harvard and a shaman. And she lives in San Francisco. And she is of the Oneida and Powhatan heritage. And she says that she realized while she was studying clinical psych that she had all this other way of knowing the way people think and feel and be. And so she put them together. And that piece really influenced me. And because of what she said, I wrote this series of verses, which I will now read to you in their deep relevance for this moment as part of my 15 to 20 minutes here tonight. The woman woke like Sleeping Beauty, kissed herself and found a dolphin, blue, leaping right over the curve of her left shoulder, marking her. Years she swam, fast, out in front of the sharks, dancing the foam tops of waves. Sometimes she jumped clear out of the sea, laughing through the sunbright, diving away from tourists buying tickets to her life. Then a she-bear came. Spirit dreaming, the woman met a bear whose blood and fur were dark, a voice from a cave growling to a cub she'd whelped. nursed, fed with honey, berries, dandelions, and lilies, roots and tree grubs, ledge-dancing goats, high-ridge sheep, their rangy meat streaked with clover. Sleeping one season every year, sometimes the bear woke up to roar in the dark. The woman roared, too. Then she laughed. Once, when the bear was sleeping, the woman's need was for caution, for delicate feet. She dreamed a doe who stayed for months when fear was being useful. She was grateful for this teaching, these ways. Then the doe was gone, and the bear woke up, and the woman laughed out loud. Those who'd met the woman in her doe time were startled. The woman laughed out loud. Years dreaming, throats rumbling, cub growing, grown, woman and bear silvering slowly. One night, a shining mare cantered into the darkest dream and stood there, soft lips sliding over big, blunt teeth. Bear turned over, snored. The woman wondered, and the horse waited, skin flickering, tail switching. The woman closed her eyes. She opened her eyes, and the horse was still there, its gold head pointing like a signpost, one hoof stamping on the cave floor. The woman laughed at herself. She stretched, loosened for the leap, dropped kisses to the bear. On the horse's back, she moved like a myth. Woman and horse, legend, galloping flower meadows, crossing sand dunes, tracing the edge of a fast, cold river, the woman sometimes gasping, air in her body like food. In a night valley, the mare stopped. The woman lay down, looked up. The stars made her cry. In the valley morning, yellow sun rose over mountains, lighting a small house. The mare cropped rough grass. Sometimes birds, black, white, blue-winged with sharp, narrow tails, flew down. They chattered, pecking and walking. They groomed the mare. Magpies. The woman watched them. They dipped their black beaks, drank dew from cracked stone. They made fierce laughing. They flapped wings of iridescent coal. The birds knew she was watching. She saw them knowing. She saw them flying. Thank you. So Leslie Gray made me write that. I wrote to her, of course. I sent her a copy. How could I not? I met those magpies in Taos, New Mexico. And they flew away with me. You wouldn't think they could lift me, but they did. For more than 10 years, I was a bird woman. The gift those trickster magpies gave was a great source of joy, flight. Then, not long ago, and not far away, right here, in fact, October 8th, 2013, in Portland, I found out I had cancer. With the good Dr. Kim, Jin-hee Kim, I watched the most real reality TV there is. On a giant screen in her office, we looked inside of me and saw the tumor. Next day, she took it out. A few days after that, still in shock, not yet able to think about what this was going to mean for the rest of my life and how much rest of my life there might be and all of those things you think in those times, the bear came to me. I recognized her. She came into my mind. I saw her rising inside my mind. She looked at me. She looked in my eyes just as she had those years ago. She was the spirit guide I need now. I did a ritual at the next new moon. There was a Sunday-Monday axis. It was perfect. Asking the bear to help me. I pulled out my bear books, poems and stories and guides. I put bear tokens up in my home and began to carry and wear them. I whispered and chanted the name of the bear in the languages of my life. When I was growing up, my people said bear in Yiddish. That's the word. Medved in Russian. I pondered hibernation, what it's for, how it works. I thought about honey eaters, berry eaters, fishers. I reread Uncle Mike's paragraph about bears in Uncle Mike's Guide to the Oregon Coast. You all know that book? It's a crucial book. Cancer patients abso-fucking-lutely require hilarity. Uncle Mike, may he rest in wherever he is, gives it to you. I listened several times one day. One day I listened repeatedly, sort of like when I was 13 and would listen to my favorite song over and over and over again. I listened to Lyle Lovett singing Stephen Fromhold's song, Bears. I knew it. I mean, I've listened to it for years, but not the same way. And then I wrote down this line, me, I just bear up to my bewildered best. In this new round of studies, I learned that in many places on Earth, including Siberia, in the Inuit tradition, shamanic women are bears, called bears, representing bears. I learned that in the southwestern United States, notably in the Zuni tradition, the bear is associated with curative powers, breath, the life force. I saw that in regions that had been already meaningful in my life or the life of my family, the bear is and has been, probably for thousands of years, a healer and a teacher. Many bears live a solitary life. They seem to have balance and comfort in solitude. We can learn from them to seek silence and respite, so rare, so difficult to find in this busy, noisy space so many of us are happy to be in much of the time. The spirit of the bear can ground us. At the end of January, 3.5 to 4 months after that first really shocking experience, we, the good doctor, her good nurse, and me, we looked into the big screen again, and we found another tumor. Next day, another surgery, because we know how to act quickly. For centuries, people have asked the bear for guidance, trying to direct and focus human energy, knowing that the bear understands that direction. Bears are models of courage and stability. Bears are admired, respected, and feared for their power. I'm seeking bear power for strength and confidence in my cancer time. I talk directly to her, looking at a picture or a model of her, like my Catholic girlfriends in grammar school with their saint cards. That's how I'm doing it now. Well, I'm doing a lot of things, but that's one of the ways I'm doing it now. During this time, these months that I've got this new life, two of my best beloveds have sent me bear fetishes, extraordinary bear fetishes. And so now I want to give away my first bear fetish, that one I referred to before. I brought it with me tonight. It's on the table over there. It's very simply cut, heavy, and solid. If you need it, one of you here, please take it away with you tonight. You'll know if you need it. You'll think about it. That'd be a good thing. Ferociously foraging, may I say bear-like, but in books and online, I found a poem called Night Visitor. In it, the poet has made the bear a symbol of death, an embodiment of death. This poem squeezed my heart. I sobbed when I read it the first time because it seemed to contradict all I'd been thinking and feeling about the bear as my guide to living in health and strength. Then I realized the complexity and contradictions of this situation, and realized that the complexity and the contradictions provide much of what stirs my spirit. And think about this. There's nothing, and I mean nothing, wants to live more than cancer cells do. That's their thing. Those maniac little killers are wild to live. They reproduce like nothing else. Also, I know this. Though my own recurrent cancer, my own eager little tumors, have not been horrific so far, so good. Cancer is horrific. It pushes us to think of death, and it fosters fear, big fear. And I like what this poet, Grace Butcher, has done with that in the poem. So I'm going to read some excerpts from it. It's much shorter than mine, and her conclusion. And that's how I'm going to conclude my bit here tonight. These are lines excerpted from Night Visitor. Where I had camped at dusk, death walked into the clearing, doubled over on all fours in the guise of a great bear. I stood motionless in the doorway of my tent. Fear took me nearly to the ground. The knife in my hand was very small, but I was ready then. And calm. The bear padded slowly past my tent and me, as if we were not there. Now, as I tell this, I realize the bear is always there, at the edge of the clearing, and the knife is always too small. The joy is in pitching my tent over and over again to wait for the morning, whether it comes or not. Thank you.
On the vernal equinox, where we stand at the gate of the year, Judith Arcana brings us her bear. So I would suggest, people, that you do as she asks, this powerful woman, and take a moment to reach out to her bear and ask her bear if you're the one that's going to take that bear home. Okay? Can you guys do that? Take a breath. Imagine you're in a room with some file cabinets and a desk. Are you breathing? I didn't get the breathing. Ready? In. Okay, somebody breathe. Lydia's breathing. All right, and out. Who got? Somebody gets a yes. The bear's over there on the table for you. Thank you so much, Judith Arcana. And thank you to your bear.